This is KNBA News. I'm Jacqueline Estes. It's not as smoky outside as it was yesterday, but the winds are expected to change over the weekend and bring the smoke back. Hotshot crews from the lower 48 have been brought in to boost firefighting efforts on the two South Central Alaska fires. The Funny River fire has grown to 63,000 acres. Crews have worked to corral it with a dozer line removing potential fuel sources. Water scooping aircraft will be deployed today to help protect Kasilof. The fire is about 3.5 miles from a subdivision. The Tyonek fire has grown to 1,800 acres. Firefighters have burned out fuel around natural gas distribution pipelines and substations, a power line, and the Beluga power plant. A dozer line was completed from Beluga Road to the beach at Cook Inlet. 5 structures have been destroyed by the Tyonek fire, none of them homes. Wednesday, the U.S. Senate Indian Affairs Committee approved the Alaska Safe Families and Villages Bill, which is meant to help address crime in rural Alaska. The legislation would encourage the state of Alaska and tribes to sign agreements on tribal enforcement of certain state laws dealing with alcohol and drug abuse and domestic violence and sexual assault. The bill now goes to the full Senate for consideration. 2 regional tribal entities are calling for tribal co-management of Yukon River fisheries to address the continued decline of salmon stocks. Tanana Chiefs Conference and the Association of Village Council Presidents met in St. Mary's earlier this week, along with representatives of several Yukon River villages. They're calling for a moratorium on all Chinook fishing, except for the minimum needed for customary and traditional funeral potlatches. They adopted a resolution creating a Yukon River Intertribal Fish Commission to develop a management plan for the 2015 season. The resolution outlines a wide range of issues and management tools, from Chinook bycatch in the Bering Sea fisheries to the need for strong research and science blended with traditional knowledge of village elders. The resolution calls for increased tribal recognition and empowerment to sustain Yukon River stocks for generations to come. Yesterday, a U.S. Senate panel moved to require labeling for genetically modified salmon if it's approved for sale in this country. As APRN's Liz Ruskin reports, the labeling mandate is now part of an agriculture appropriations bill pending in the Senate.
Senator Lisa Murkowski told the Appropriations Committee she hopes the FDA never allows genetically modified salmon to reach supermarket shelves.
But we haven't been able to get the FDA to slow down off their track of approval.
So Murkowski says they should at least require the product to carry labels.
That they put on the package of fish that says this is a genetically engineered salmon.
But mandatory labeling repels senators from farm states who fear it'll lead to labeling of GM crops. Senator Mike Johanns of Nebraska defended genetically modified food at the hearing, saying it can help sustain the world's ever-growing population. Johanns says labeling would be a compliance nightmare, with consumers footing the bill.
There's a cost to that for no basis in science.
The company that wants to produce the Aqua Advantage salmon says its farmed fish would be just like conventional Atlantic salmon. Senator Mark Begich, who co-sponsored Murkowski's labeling amendment, says the company should just be upfront with consumers.
If their fish product is so good, then tell us what it is. That's all we're asking.
Appropriations Committee Chairwoman Barbara Mikulski called for the vote.
In favor of the Murkowski Begich amendment signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying no.
No.
The ayes do have it.
Alaska's delegation to Congress has fought to require labeling in years past, only to see it stripped out of the final legislation. In Washington, I'm Liz Ruskin.
This is KNBA News. I'm Jacqueline Estes.